any good. Then I heard that Jesus was passing by. Then I decided to give him a try. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched, for I have touched the hem of his garment, hem of his garment, and his blood.
Testimony today. Why don't you give the Lord the praise on this morning? Amen. His blood has made me whole. Amen. Don't let me stop you, sister. You know, you can just go on and get your praise on. Amen. You can tickle them keys. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy Resurrection Sunday, you all. May you may be seated. We praise the Lord. Amen. You know, oh, it is Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. The innermost part of me, it is Jesus in my soul. In the very fiber of my being, yes, yes. Sister Carolina, it is Jesus, the one who died for me, the one who gave his life that I might be free, the one who we celebrate on Christmas morning. Gifts under the trees, but he was that gift that hung on the tree. And in that, recognizing this Jesus who's in our soul, we find ourselves giving gifts and grace and mercy to one another, and just letting it be known that it's Jesus. Why do you do what you do? Because it is Jesus. Why is it that you're not who you used to be? Because it is Jesus who takes broken things and put them back together. Mary's little baby. Somebody say Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And here we are today on this Resurrection Sunday. As I said earlier, where people all over this world recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just folk, it's not folklore. It's not some hypothetical thing. It's the God of the universe who came from heaven down to live a perfect life in our place that we couldn't live, and to die on an old rugged cross and rise on the third day for the sins of the world. That's us today, and we have something to celebrate about. Amen. So I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. You know, I was thinking in the way of a subject today. Trust and believe God's word. What is it these days that you can really put your hand on, put your finger on and say, that's true. That's right. Everything other than the word of God falls way short of what true truth is. We need something in the times that we're living in that we can hold on to, that we can point to, that we can stand on, that we can bring up in our spirit in the time of need, and it's the word of God. You see, the subject is trust and believe God's word, but actually, you know, you have to believe God's word before you can trust God's word. See, whose report shall we believe? I can't listen to news on all day long because there's no good news in the secular news media, regardless of what your persuasion is. But there's good news in the word of God. See, and we're going to look at a few, you know, I love this Resurrection Sunday. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to go to Matthew. That's going to be the main text because we're going to see some things was happening on that Sunday morning over 2,000 years ago. But, you know, from the very beginning, God has had a plan for man. He's had a plan for mankind, and you know, Adam and Eve, they blew it in the garden. Some people say, oh, it was Adam. Somebody said it was Eve. No, it was both of them. They fell short of God's glory, and they disobeyed God. And then we end up in a world that's full of sin and shame. We're living in a time right now, if you care to check it, people are doing some heinous things. From the young to the old. People are calling things that are wrong right, and call things that are right wrong. All right. I even heard on this morning over at Walter Reed's hospital, the main hospital for all the military and all the big brass, they kicked all the Catholic priests out. They got a secular group in that's going to be the counselors. I'm like, what? Trust and believe God's word. The answer to every question that anyone may have is in the word of God. And it's nothing wrong with having questions. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having some doubt. But you know what? If you take it to God, if you search out God's word, if you seek out the one who created you, he'll answer every question that you have. Because at some point, we do have to figure out, what is life all about? What happens when I leave this place? When there's no longer breath in my body, there's no longer blood running in my veins, what's next? Where do we go for the answers but to the word of God? That word that we can trust and we can believe, and it's been proven to be factual down through the years. Right. If people had their way, they would have refuted the Bible a long time ago. But it stands the test of time. The word of God has stood on its own two feet. Praise the Lord. So, let's get started in here. And I know, you know, it's holiday today. I know some of you ladies, your kitchen is already smelling pretty good and got things down on low and down on warm. You know, things kind of marinating in the refrigerator. I smelled something last night when I woke up and I said, that smelled like sweet potato pie. I said, okay, well, so on that note, we're not going to be up here all day, so let me get to what God gave me, and we're going to move forward. From the beginning of time, God has had a plan. Let's look at John 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm talking about trust and believe in God's word. We have to have something to go on. Who do we trust today? Who do we really put our faith in today? You know, So God, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, just to let you know, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So as we read this, understand the Word is Jesus, whom we're celebrating on today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, listen to this close, all things were made through him. Who? Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Oh, thank you, Lord. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Even today. Yes. In dark times that we're living in, the darkness of this world cannot extinguish the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And for those who have embraced him as your Lord and Savior, you are yet letting your light shine. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. You know, somebody, well, why are you smiling when stuff is falling all around you? Because I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because of the word of God. And his name is Jesus. I heard Pastor Jones as he was really just preaching up a storm at the Good Friday service on Friday. He was saying that this next verse is really what's wrapped up. It summarizes the whole Bible, St. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world, that's all of us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Anybody looking for everlasting life after this life? To be in the presence of a holy and righteous God? Hallelujah. It says, for, and listen to this, and this is because sometimes people accuse God falsely. They make God out to be this big monster, this big cosmic killjoy. The one who don't want you to have any fun. That is the biggest lie that the enemy has ever told. He goes on to say in verse 17, for God did not send his son Jesus, the word of God. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When you hear Christian folks talking about being saved, saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from a devil's hell, saved from being separated from God for all eternity. We live on this earth a short time, very short time. It could be 50 years, 60, 70, 90, 100. It's a short time in the grand scheme of things. But he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And I thank God that he saved me. Amen. Amen. If he had to save me, I don't think I'd be not only standing in here today, I don't think I'd be standing. All right. So, you know, every now and then, I like what Sister Patricia, she said, let me just share my testimony about this. You see, sometimes we need to reflect on where God has brought us from and how God has blessed us. And I tell you, God blesses us even before we come to know him. So many times we could have been cut off. We could have been destitute. We could have been one of those sleeping under the bridge. But the mercy and grace of God sustained us. And he's wooing men and women to himself that we will be able to be representatives for him, and we'll be able to pass on this word of God that we trust and believe in, so our children will have a foundation, because now they're trying to have babies say, I'm something that I wasn't when I'm something different. We're living in some crucial times, church. We need to trust and believe the word of God in the midst of chaos. Another verse is I'm inching on toward Matthew 28. It says in John 10 and 18, thank you, Lord. Get back over here. All right. Jesus came on a mission to give his life a ransom for many. He let his followers know, listen, I'm only here for a short time. And I'm not going to always be here with you. And my life is going to be taken from me. And I'm going to rise on the third day. All through Scripture in the New Testament, we find Jesus saying those things. But also we remember now that he's the Word. Yes. He's the Son of the living God. He is God incarnate in the flesh. Yes. He's a mighty God. And so he had to let the disciples know, and he wanted us to know and understand who he is and how powerful he is. Yes, Jesus came to die. Yes, he was crucified on the old cross. But he told them in John 10 and 18, he said, no one take my life from me. See, a lot of times people doing stuff, they don't really know the effect of what it is that they are doing, even though they're creating general mayhem. But when you have the God of the universe with a plan, then he is the one in control. Amen. So he said, no one takes it from me. No one takes my life from me. What did Jesus say? But I lay it down of myself. What would cause Jesus to lay his life down? It's summed up in one word, and there it is right there, love. Thank you, Lord. He said, I lay down my life. I lay it down myself. And listen to this. This is because we're talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about we need to trust and believe. We need to have something we can stand up. We need to know who we're dealing with. Because, you know, in regular life, you've got folks you can trust, and you got some folks you can't trust. Okay, I'm just keeping it real now for a minute. Because, you know, you may know somebody you will not leave in your house and you gone. And, you know, other folks say, no problem. Here's the key. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We need to learn how to trust God in every situation. Right. He said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Isn't that something? Now, who else in history, past, present, or future, can make a statement like, you know what? I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to give my I'm going to die and be buried, and I'm going to raise it up again. No, no. But Jesus, see, I'm sharing these scriptures with you because we need to have some trust, and we need to believe in the God who created us, and that his word is solid and his word is true. See, we need to be able to stand on his word. In John 11, 25 and 26, just jump right into the narrative. Jesus had a good friend named Lazarus who was sick unto death, and the man died. And his sisters were like, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But again, we're talking about Jesus. So Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection. What day is this? This is Resurrection Sunday. This is before Jesus was hung up on the cross, before he was scourged, before he had his flesh ripped off, before the crown of thorns was put on his head. He tells a grieving sister, a dear friend of his, who's wondering what just happened. We've seen you do miracles, Jesus. We've seen you give sight to the blind. We've seen you unstop deaf ears. We know you can do anything. And here our brother was so sick, and you took your time coming to him, and now he's dead. But he said, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't that powerful? Anybody in here believe that today about this Jesus, about the word of God? He said, this is important now. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. The operative word is believe in him. Even though we will die in him, we'll yet live. That's why when we're at a cemetery, at a funeral service, at a homegoing service, and we know the person was dedicated to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can shake ourselves, and we can kind of fight through the tears, and we can say, I know that he's in a better place. He's not dead, he's alive in the presence of a holy and just God. And he said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. All right. Yeah. And he asked, he said, do you believe this? Man. And she said, yes, I believe. And Jesus, with all the professional mourners that was around, people just crying, and, well, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said, you know what? Move the stone away from the tomb. They said, well, wait a minute now. He's thinking by now. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, move the stone. And he called Lazarus by, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man that was dead got up and came on out. Now, he had to die again of a natural death. But Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. A couple more verses before we get to the key passage today. Luke 18, 31 through 33. Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was a devil. Everybody know his name? Judas. You know, if somebody call you Judas, they ain't your friend. Say, hey, Judas, what's happening? No, they know he was a betrayer. Wow. A deceiver, a thief. So Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will, listen to this now, because this is Resurrection Sunday. Good Friday was last Friday when Jesus was crucified. Prior to that, he was deceived by Judas, taken through mock trials, a setup, but it was a bless up for us. It says, so behold, we are going to Jerusalem, followers, Jesus was telling them, the 12, and Judas was one of them. All things are written by that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Will be accomplished. It's going to happen. Believe and trust the word of God. It's what we need to do in trying times. I'm sure all of us have been to places where we didn't know how this thing was going to work out, how I'm going to make it through this situation. God, this thing hurts. He says, the Son of Man, everything said about me concerning me will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles. Wow. And he will be mocked. The Gentiles was the Roman government who was in charge of that whole known world. He will be mocked, made fun of. and insulted. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, the one we're celebrating today. And spit upon. Now, any of y'all that's been to elementary school, you know that them was fight. That's when the fight broke out. You mess around, let somebody spit on you. Or number two, say, yo mama. All communication's gone. It's on and cracking then. But Jesus didn't say a mumbling word. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was insulted. And they will scourge him. He's talking to the 12. And kill him. He's talking about his own death. And he says the third day he will rise again. He told them, we must trust and believe the word of God. When Jesus said, when the word of God says that perilous times is coming, he meant that. When he said that you're going to see earthquakes in diverse places and, you know, wars in the heaven and, you know, all this kind of stuff happening, he said, it's coming. We need to make sure we're not asleep at the switch, church. We live in the end times. And this same Jesus, he said, I'm coming back again. Amen. Do we believe that on today? Are we living like that on today? Or are we tiptoeing through the tulips? Last verse to drive home the importance of God's word, that God's word stands sure. Numbers 23 and 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. God doesn't lie. He never have to repent. Listen to this. Now, this is powerful. It says, has he said and will he not do it? Somebody in here today is standing on God's word in the midst of your trials. Has he said and he will not do, or has he spoken and he will not make it good? He told them that he was going to be whipped and ridiculed, and he was going to be put to death, and he was going to rise on the third day. And so that brings us to the scripture of today from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 8. So now it's showtime. Yeah. You know, the Lakers used to be showtime, but now it's no time. I mean, I don't know what it is now, but for Jesus in this time, it's showtime now. And sometime it depends on what God reveals to us. We don't know what God is going to do. We know he's going to do something. We know he's working on our behalf. We know that he has a plan for us. But wow. So we need to live in great anticipation of trusting this great God whom we serve. If he's able to transform our lives from death and destruction to joy and happiness, is there anything too hard for God? So trust and believe in God's word. So now get this. Jesus has been crucified. He's been put in a tomb. A big giant stone had by the soldiers have been wedged and rolled over the tomb to seal him in, because somebody has said, you know what, just to make sure that nobody tell a lie that he didn't get up, we're going to seal this tomb. We're going to make sure Jesus is locked up in that cave and can't get out. The people are hurting, the disciples, the one they love so much, the one who has performed so many miracles, the one who has spoke peace to storms, the one who has stood before the religious leaders and silenced them, the one who never hurt anyone, never cursed at all. This one who had done so much and been a part of their very fiber for 3.5 years, now he's dead. But his word did say that on the third day I'm going to rise again. What happens in our lives when things look so bleak? Do we believe that there's a brighter day ahead? Do we believe that God's word, that he will stand true to his word and he will deliver us? So here it is, the scene. The guards are standing at guarding the tomb. the Roman soldier with their spear and all they flak on. The religious leaders is like, ha, 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 we got him now. You know, all eyes will be back on us now. Herod and Pontius Pilate, they just glad it's over because they've been under pressure. So now it reads like this. Now after the Sabbath. You remember now, they didn't want to crucify Jesus on the Sabbath day. You know, they got a little religiosity to them, even though their hearts were corrupt. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Now, let me just say this real quick. Why do Christians have church on Sunday? Because the Sabbath is Saturday. You know, some of us know people that Seventh-day Adventists and the Jewish and so forth. You know, the Sabbath day haven't changed, but the Christian church worship on Sunday because Sunday is when Jesus rose from the grave. That's right. That's why we do that. And so now the Sabbath and the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene, somebody remember her name, Mary Magdalene. She was a woman who was possessed by seven demons. And Jesus cast the demons out of her. So torment and fear and hostility left her, and the joy of the Lord entered her. So Mary Magdalene, early in the morning, and the other Mary came to see the tomb. They want to come to see the tomb, and they had it in their heart. Oh, if we could just go and anoint his body, you know. But now they know that the stone is already covering the tomb. You know, see, sometimes we try to figure out, okay, this is, I don't know how this is going, but this is too hard for me. And we will miss that it ain't hard at all for God. Can I just ask you, have God ever blessed you in a way that you wasn't expecting? Amen. Did you ever get a job you interviewed for and you didn't think you was going to get it? Amen. Did you ever get that promotion that you know ain't no winner now and you get it? You get that check in the mail and, huh? You know, the same God, he's continually working on our behalf. Have you ever had that report from the doctor? You say, you know what, I better get my will together. Get the living trust going because this thing, they looking too good. Then all of a sudden, things turn around. Your strength start coming back. The blood work looks different. Listen to God we serve. Trust and believe the Lord. So now after the Sabbath, let me just read through this. And the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, it don't sound like that was a 1.5 on the Richter scale. To me, a great earthquake is like what was worse than San Francisco earthquake. It had to be catastrophic. It say there was a great earthquake. That's situation number one. You already grieving, people already grieving, the ladies are grieving, they want to see what they can do for Jesus, and now an earthquake? Have you ever had a situation in your life where say, what can happen next? And before you know it, something else can happen? Oh, man. All right, so a great earthquake. Listen to this, powerful, because see, there's angels in heaven, messengers from God. And so it say, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. All right. Now, I can't speak for you all, but I never seen an angel descend from heaven. And if I did, I would probably be post-toasties on the ground, mortified, you know. you remember that Home Alone movies, the first one? And the guy, he got electrocuted. You just see a skeleton. And that's how I would probably be if I saw an angel. But he was so a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Listen to this. The angel came down. I don't know how many men it took to move that big boulder in front of the tomb. But an angel came down from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And the angel now sat on this big boulder. Listen to this. His countenance was like lightning. And his clothing was white as snow. It's a lot going on. Our Savior's been crucified. We've seen this. The earth is shaking. Angel coming down. He's lit up like a Christmas tree. What next? And so, mind you now, the guards were guarding. They had their spears. They had their shields on. They helmet, they brass helmet. They're like, yeah, ain't nobody coming up in here. See, we guarding this tomb. You know, like one of my friend's son asked one of his cousins at the funeral one day. He said, hey, we haven't seen you in so long. What you do? He said, I'm a security guard. He said, you got a gun? He said, no. He said, well, you ain't guarding nothing. You just showing up at work. It's kind of like that's here. Verse 4 says, and the guards shook for fear of him. The guards? Okay, y'all supposed to be in charge here. You got your spear. Use your spear. And it says, and they became like dead men. They were mortified. On their back, legs straight up and arms straight up. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. See, if God sent an angel your way, the first thing you're going to hear is, fear not. Don't be afraid. When God is in it, perfect love cast out fear. But if you are enemy of God, I would admonish anybody, you should fear the one who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. But the angel had said that to the women, do not be afraid, for I know, the angel had firsthand knowledge, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, right? Who was put to death. He is not here. What? He's not here? Let me get this straight. We saw him put him in there. We saw the boulder roller. He ain't in there? Wow. He's not here. He is risen. This is Resurrection Sunday. He has risen as he what? Said. Believe, trust and believe the word of God. If Jesus said he's going to do it, you can take it to the bank. But a lot of time we don't do that, but we are learning how to do that in the midst of our trials. Come, and so he gives them an invitation. The guards can't do nothing. They like out. But those who love the Lord, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb. Listen to what they had. With fear and great joy, their Savior, he's risen just like he said he was. And y'all going to see him in Galilee. And they ran to bring the disciples word. When you get hold to the Lord, you'll find yourself running to tell somebody how good your God is. The question really comes back, whose report are you going to believe? Because, see, it's so much of this story, but you, anybody ever heard of Doubting Thomas? Now, he gets a bad rap because everybody was doubting. But Jesus, and matter of fact, as Jesus had resurrected and the word was getting out that he's risen, people was like, I don't believe it. No, that can't be. But one day, as the 11, now 11, because Judas has killed himself, the 11 disciples was in a house, may have been Peter's house, locked with the door locked because they're scared for their life. And only reason they begin to believe that Jesus had rose, he walked through the door without opening it, came in and say, fear not. Because I'm telling you, been like, see that, going through that. Well, he said, fear not. That's when they believed. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas didn't see. So listen what Thomas said. We will get ready to close out here. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, I think it's Didymus in Aramaic, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, listen to what Thomas said. He said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. So that means Thomas saw the crucifixion. He saw Jesus nailed up there. He saw the Roman soldier pierce him in the side. He said, I am not going to believe till I see it. Listen to this. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. How you get in here? Because see, Jesus now have a glorified body. He had already told some, they told the lady, don't cling to me, don't try to hug me. No. You know, it's a new dispensation now, it's a new day. You know, I haven't gone back to my Father yet. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. Then the doors were locked, but suddenly as before, Jesus was standing among them, and Jesus said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, now get this, we just read what Thomas had said. So now Jesus, being all knowing, who knows every little detail about us and our thoughts before we even think them, Jesus said, Thomas, put your fingers here and look at my hands. Now, when Thomas said that, he didn't know Jesus. Jesus wasn't in there. God will meet us where we are. Wherever you are, church, he'll meet you there. If you're in a place where you don't believe the gospel, he'll meet you there. And he'll lead you and show you who he is. He said, now put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. See, back to trust and believe the word of God. And you know what Thomas did? Nowhere in this that we're reading say Thomas did it. But Jesus, the omniscient one, the all-knowing one, the all-caring one, the all-loving one, the all-powerful one, when he said, hey, man, you want to see hands? You want to see one? You want to do that? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Wow, it became alive to him now. He is the Messiah. My Lord and my God. Thomas exclaimed, then Jesus told him, we're going to close out with this. But Jesus said, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. That's us today. That you don't have to see Jesus physically for you to believe. But if you find yourself saturating yourself in the word of God, you'll see him. You'll hear him. You will feel him. So the question is, what did it take for some of you to trust and believe the word of God? And what will it take for some of you to trust and believe the word? What is it that you need to prove to you that Jesus Christ is God Almighty all by himself? So Jesus, couple of quick points. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was God's plan since the fall of man. God's word is trustworthy, and you can put his word to the test. Let me say that again. You can put God's word to the test. If God said it in his word and it applies to you, put it to the trust God in it and watch God move on your behalf. Try him for yourself. And he lets us know he's coming back again, just as the word has said. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to what his works is. Why don't the praise team, y'all come on, get let's just praise the Lord in this house as we close out. But see, something happens when you understand who Jesus is. When you get to that monumental place in your life and you recognize that something is missing, that there's a void in your life, there's question marks that you have. Something happened though when you understand who this Jesus is. He's not the one that's dragging you and making you come to church, but he's standing with his arms wide open saying, I love you. I have a plan for you. Great and awesome plans for you. And I want to spend eternity with you. And before eternity, I want to sup with you. I want you to have peace in your heart and in your mind. I want you to be productive. I want you to be to know that you're loved, and that love that you're loved with, you'll be able to love someone else. Something happens when you understand who this Jesus is, the one who rose on the third day. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Trust and believe God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Still in charge.
Savior Jesus Christ. God, we thank you. this is not just a regular day, but God, this is the day that we remember that you didn't stay in that borrowed tomb, but you rose with all power in your hand. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. That power of sin is broken. Oh God, you did it all for us. And God, we want to tell you thank you. Thank you for giving us the victory. Thank you for giving us joy. Thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for giving us peace. Thank you for giving us happiness. God, thank you. So we who are saved, who have called your name to be our Lord, we want to take on you, oh God. We know that you are the risen Savior, that you are alive forevermore. You are the Son of God. You are the righteous Lamb. Oh God, God, we thank you. So God, we extend this opportunity for those who have not made you their choice and ask you, God, to touch them. As you wooed us into the kingdom, God, won't you continue to draw them? The young people, oh God, from the baby on up to old age, God, draw them in, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help them to taste and see of your goodness. Help them to learn more about you and take up your yoke, because it's easy and your burdens are light. God, we ask you to continue to save to the utmost. Oh God, we're crying out Hosanna for our children, for our loved ones, for our spouses, oh God, for our nation and our world. So God, won't you have your way? And God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, God, we thank you for the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit that rests, rules, and abides with us in our work and in our leisure. God, we thank you that we take you everywhere we go, oh God. God, we thank you that you're always looking out for us, oh God. So God, won't you bless the homes, oh God, that will convene around the table on today. Oh God, bless the food that they're going to receive. But God, bless fellowship, bless love to abide, oh God. Let forgiveness to flow like a river, oh God, all through the homes. And God, those that are sick and afflicted, those that don't have that on this day, those that are living in the margins of the life, God, those that are in prison, God, touch them even now. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all the glory, give you all the honor, because it's due your wonderful name, in the precious name of Jesus, for there's no other name, oh God, that can change, heal, set free, and deliver. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.